hoping that was what bartenders usually said when a cop wanted to question the owner. "It isn't necessary. I'll catch him later," Jonas said. Was that some kind of play on words? She didn't know. She never talked to cops. It was the code of the street. It wasn't done. Heidi came up to the bar, waving her over. "Excuse me, I have to make a couple of drinks." She wanted to kiss Heidi for interrupting. She made the drinks Heidi asked for, mentally composing herself before turning back to face the cops. "Can I help you with something?" The one in the sheriff's uniform pushed three pictures across the bar at her. "Name's DeVoe. Jackson DeVoe. Nice to meet you. Have you seen these three men?" She glanced down. Yeah, she'd seen them. The three assholes who'd confronted her in the bar and then waited outside. She picked up the pictures, pretending to study them. "I have a pretty good memory," she said, stalling for time. "They've definitely been in here. They caused some trouble, especially this one." She tapped Deke's picture and left her finger on it. "I'm trying to remember the date, though. The days all run together after a while." She felt like it was better to stick as close to the truth as possible. To be honest, both men were a little intimidating, which was strange. After Reaper, she didn't think she'd find anyone unnerving again. "What kind of trouble did they make?" asked DeVoe. Then Reaper was there, leaning over the bar, pointing to a beer, all but snapping his fingers at her. Any other time, she might have thrown the bottle at his head, but she was grateful. She hurried to get the beer. "Jackson DeVoe. Haven't seen you for a couple of months. And Jonas. Think this is the first time you've been in the bar? You boys slumming?" Reaper drawled the question, turning the lawman's attention to him. "Looking for these three." Jonas tapped the photographs. Reaper glanced down at the three pictures. "What'd they do?" "Beat up a couple of men and took their wallets in Fort Bragg," Jonas said smoothly. "Witnesses said they were on bikes, so I thought they might show up here." "They did," Reaper said, shoving the pictures across the bar at him with some disgust. "Tried throwing their weight around. Were ugly to the waitresses and our bartender, and they got their asses kicked. Last I saw of them, they were heading toward their bikes to take off. They know better than to show their faces here." Anya set the beer in front of Reaper and moved down the bar to Bannister again. For some reason, the older man gave her comfort. Cops, hitmen, bikers. She'd gotten herself into a mess all because she couldn't resist one man. He sat on a stool, bullshitting the cops, weaving a mixture of truth and lies so it sounded not only plausible but probable. "Keep talking to me, darling," Bannister said softly. "Don't pay attention to them." Was it that obvious? She wasn't good at being a biker babe, that was for sure. Lana and Elena could carry off anything and look like a million bucks doing it, but she couldn't even handle cops in the bar. "I lived on the streets most of my life," she confided. "You know the kind of code." He patted her hand. "Did Elena make her chicken wings?" "You smelled them, didn't you?" He nodded. "I smelled them all the way down the highway. Couldn't resist. They had a commercial kitchen and a license to sell certain items. Chicken wings were on that list, and most of the locals knew to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Elena's chicken wings were spectacular. She moved quickly to get Bannister some, grateful he hadn't asked earlier. Going down the hall to the tiny kitchen to get him a batch allowed her to take a much-needed breath. Player and Keys sat on the stools under the stainless steel counter, both eating the chicken wings and drinking beer. They sent her guilty smirks. "Doing good in there," Keys said. "Aren't you supposed to be watching the monitors?" she asked. "Elena's going to kill you if you eat up all the chicken. You have chicken thighs at the clubhouse."
"Got hungry,"
Player said. "Watching monitors is hungry work." "You two are crazy. Did you see the cops come in?" Keys slid off the stool and grabbed a napkin, his gaze on her face.
"Just cops, honey," he soothed. "Nothing to worry about. Reaper ran interference. He'll get rid of them. You were smart to admit they came in.
It's easier to stick to the truth." Both nodded their heads.
Don't pay attention to the Burroughs brothers. Stay on Bannister. He'll look after you.
Suggest he talk to Czar about his problem, Keyes added. She wasn't used to going to Czar for every little thing, but she really liked Blythe, and Blythe seemed to think the man walked on water. For that matter, they all did. She was secretly afraid she wasn't going to be good at being Reaper's woman. She was definitely out of her element, although she was very glad she wasn't dealing with two hitmen who liked to cut up women alone. She scooped chicken into a basket. Those men aren't the same ones who cut up my roommate. How could the Ghost Club have more than one hit team? Don't worry about it, honey. We've got this. You'll be safe. She went to the door and then turned back. Does Lana know the answer to that question? The two exchanged an alarmed look.
Is that a trick question? Keyes asked.
She glared at them and stomped out, wondering if she really wanted to know the answer. Plopping the basket in front of Bannister, she added two napkins and opened another bottle of his favorite beer. Men are absolute swine, Bannister, present company excluded. The two cops were leaving, and the churning in her stomach subsided a bit. She thought that made her pretty fucked up, to be more terrified of the law than the hitmen sitting in her bar, calmly waiting until her shift ended so they could slice her into little pieces.
I concur, Bannister said. Men are absolute swine. Not me, of course. You don't want to leap on the back of my bike and ride off into the sunset with me, do you?
Reaper joined them, his back never quite to the Burroughs brothers.
Wouldn't want to have to kill you, Bannister, but you ride off with my woman and I'd hunt you to the ends of the earth. It wouldn't be pretty when I caught up with you.
Anya shivered, fingers of fear creeping down her spine. He had to be joking with the old biker. Reaper knew she would never actually ride off with him. He just looked so scary all the time. There was never a hint of a smile out in public. She noticed all members of the club joked with one another, but real smiles were rare and, in public, non-existent.
"Got it, man," Bannister said, not in the least offended. "Do the same myself if she were mine."
He took a bite of chicken.
"Might kill for this food," he added,
licking his fingers in appreciation. "That's all Elena," Anya assured. She glanced at the clock. "Preacher's late. I need a break." She left the two men to fill Heidi's orders again. This time, thanks to Bannister opening the floodgates on the chicken, several more orders were placed. She spent time rushing to put baskets together, mix drinks, and open beer bottles. By the time Preacher came in, she was more than ready for her break. "I'm going outside for a few minutes to cool off," she told Preacher. "It gets hot in here. We really need to install a couple of overhead fans."
"I agree," Preacher said, looking up at the ceiling. "One right over the bar and one over the dance floor."
"Do it soon before I roast," Anya said. "And we need a third bartender. You work alone on my day off, and I work alone on yours. It's getting so our slow days aren't so slow."
Preacher nodded. "I'll tell Czar to put the call out. I was late coming in and worried you'd be swamped. Another waitress would be good as well."
"Heidi and Bettina kick-ass waitressing, but they need help, too," Anya agreed. "All good for business, but bad for us."
She took off the apron she wore and folded it, putting it behind the bar.
"I'm out of here."
15 minutes, Anya," Preacher called as she started down the hall toward the back door.
"You were late. That buys me 30.
20, then," Preacher bargained. She kept walking, disappearing around the corner.
Immediately, Lana tugged her into a small room, pushing her down into a comfortable chair. "Put your feet up. In exactly 20 minutes, whatever happens, you go back into the front and start work. It doesn't matter if Reaper shows again. You just work. Got that?"
Anya kicked off her shoes and pulled her feet into the chair.
"I got it. And don't ask questions, especially anything you don't want to know about."
Anya nodded.
"I've got it." Lana pushed a bottle of water into her hands. "Drink this and read or something." She touched her jeans where her phone vibrated. She pulled it out of her pocket to look at the screen. "Savage says they're on the move. I'm up. Stay put, Anya.
and follow the plan no matter what, or Reaper will never let you help with anything again.
Anya nodded. She wasn't doing that much. She had headed down a hallway and was now safe, curled up in a chair while Lana took over for her. Lana was taller than Anya, but they were dressed in the same clothing, and Lana would make certain she was in the darkest part of the yard, sitting down so height didn't matter. The two hitmen expected to see Anya, so they would believe and walk right up to her before becoming aware that it wasn't Anya sitting there. Reaper waited until the Burroughs brothers went out the front door before standing and leisurely making his way across the room. At the same time, Savage stood also, but he went to the front door, shadowing the brothers. Reaper flipped up the slab of wood on hinges, going through the bar to the hall. Instead of rounding the corner as Anya had, he went straight down the hall into the meeting room. On the other side was a door leading outside. He went out and was in the night. In the dark, he inhaled the salt air. Fingers of fog crept in from the ocean, reaching toward the bar, curling around the trees and touching the cars in the parking lot. He moved unerringly in the darkness. The others were close. He didn't need to see them. He felt them. Keys and Player were inside, looking after Anya just in case the brothers doubled back. Savage trailed the two men. He was capable of killing them if they suddenly realized they were being set up and tried to escape. They'd done this squeeze in the school, when they were barely teens. It was classic Czar, no way to lose. Czar didn't believe in fighting fair, not when the stakes were life or death. He played to win. Their lives had been on the line, and he'd made certain every single one of them knew they could die if they didn't follow the plan. He'd been right, too. A few times, someone had deviated and they'd been killed, or another child had. They all learned to trust Czar's plans. Lana sat on a small stone ledge that wrapped around a narrow strip that passed for a flower bed. She swung one foot back and forth and tilted her head to look up at the sky. The fog was thickening, just beginning to draw a veil over the stars. "Hey there, Anya!" Mike Burroughs greeted from a few feet away as he rounded the corner. "Is it okay to smoke back here?" Lana waved her hand toward the open air and nodded. Mike came straight at her, while his brother took a more circuitous route, one that brought him dangerously close to where Reaper stood, as still as a statue, just between two large bushes. Lana didn't move from her easy pose, but turned her head toward Mike. She looked delicate and even fragile in the blurred light the fog caused. Reaper had never considered Lana either of those things, but watching her, he realized she gave off that appearance. Mike evidently bought into it. Reaper stepped behind Stephen Burroughs just as Mike whipped out his butterfly knife. "You're going with us," he hissed, whirling the knife, only too happy to scare her. "Oh, please," Lana said. "Melodramatic much?" Reaper caught Stephen's head between the crook of his elbow and his hand, rolled him over his shoulder, and wrenched hard. The crack was audible in the night air. Reaper held the man dangling over his shoulder to be certain all fight had gone out of him and he was dead. Mike glanced their way, but it was difficult to make out anyone in the darkness with the fog thickening by the moment. He brought the knife in, blade up. "You should have minded your own business, bitch. Little girls shouldn't be listening to men's conversations." "A bartender right here," Lana lied. "My job description is to listen." She made no move to get away. She just sat there, swinging her foot, watching him come closer. Mike stepped nearer, suddenly frowning. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't make Lana look like Anya.
"Who the hell are you?"
"Not the woman you want to cut into small pieces." She inspected her fingernails. "I just got a manicure. I have a little job I have to do later. Or seriously, you'd be wearing that silly knife as a necktie."
"Fuck you, bitch!"
Mike glanced around quickly for his brother.
"Why do men always say that? I mean, really, no education?
You don't get your way, so you cry like a little baby? You have to play big braggart to pump yourself up? What is it? Women all over the world would like the answer to this question."
He loomed over her. I'm going to cut out your fucking eyeball.
Her long legs snapped out and up, hard, exceptionally hard. Lana could generate a tremendous amount of strength in her kicks. She drove the very pointed toe of her boot into Mike's crotch, right into his balls. She stood in one smooth motion as he fell back, driving into him a second time. Savage was behind him, and he was forced to crouch low to catch Mike's head in a vise, pushing the neck forward and down, suddenly wrenching until the snap was loud in the night.
"Seriously, woman, you drove his cock right through to his backbone."
"He doesn't have a backbone," Lana said with contempt. "Slicing up women for fun? What a nasty human being." She dusted her hands as if removing the feel of him. The van pulled up, and mechanic and transporter loaded both bodies into it. Savage handed mechanic the knife, his hands gloved.
"Don't forget to throw this thing in the ocean, somewhere deep," he cautioned.
"Consider it done,"
mechanic agreed.
"Nice show, Lana."
"Thanks. It's always nice to be appreciated." She blew him a kiss.
"Savage is heading down to the compound to go through the weapons," Reaper said. "Czar is meeting him there. Lana, if you and Elena want anything special, you need to put your request in now. Go with Savage. I'll stay with Anya and Preacher until the bar closes, and we'll be ready to go tomorrow." Anya reproduced the blueprints and gave them to Ink. "He's making us all copies. We should have those within the hour."
Lana nodded and wiggled her fingers at him. "Go be with your woman, Reaper. Make sure she knows it's over. She's holding it together better than I expected, but she isn't like us. Maybe that's a good thing. We don't need more like us. We need more like her. You'd better handle her with care."
Reaper didn't know if he could do what Lana was saying, but he knew she was right, and he wanted to be that man. Anya had committed to him, but now he had to keep her. He had to find a way to make certain she was always safe with him, no matter what they did together. He also had to find a way to make her happy when he was tough as nails and didn't know the first thing about talking to women, let alone one he cared about. He was determined. He wasn't about to lose her through stupidity.
"Will do," he said, and went to the back door of the roadhouse. Anya sat in the little room, her eyes glued to the door. Her eyes lit up when she saw him, and she jumped up, flinging herself at him.
"Lana, is she okay?"
He caught her in his arms and held her tightly against him.
"Of course Lana is okay. Why wouldn't she be?"
"Maybe because she was going to confront two psycho knife-wielding nutjobs." He shrugged, tipped her face up to his, and rubbed his nose along hers. "Lana could have handled them both in her sleep. She looks sweet, honey, but she's got another side to her." He loved that her first concern was for Lana. That had to mean she was moving toward being part of their family, whether she knew it or not. He took her mouth. Holy fucking God, he loved her mouth. He loved the way, when he kissed her, she just opened up to him, let him take everything. She ignited until the firestorm was so hot he wasn't certain he could live through it. He slid his hand under her shirt, up her back to her bra. Deft fingers undid the clasp easily. "How long is your break?"
"It took you all of 4 minutes to get whatever you did done, so I've got about 16 minutes.
She caught the bottom of her shirt and pulled it over her head, letting the bra fall to the floor. He loved how she sounded breathless, how she didn't even hesitate. He caught both breasts in his hands, massaging, squeezing, bringing them together so he could suck one nipple into his mouth and then the other. He lavished attention on the soft mounds, flicking with his tongue, using his teeth, suckling strong enough to leave marks all over her soft breasts. He fucking loved her breasts as much as her mouth. Just once, he'd like to try filling her mouth with his cock, feeling the burn of that hot cavern, seeing her lips wrapped around him, but he knew that wasn't safe.
"Your jeans,"
he managed to hiss, biting down on her nipple. She let out a soft cry, and her hands went to the waistband of her jeans, tearing them open. She kicked off her shoes and tried to push down the denim, but he hadn't released her, his mouth working her hard. He didn't even try to be gentle with her. He couldn't. He was too far gone. She was his, and the threat to her was over. He'd fucking killed the man with his bare hands, hands that stroked over her body, claiming every inch of her. He yanked down her jeans, forcing her to step out of them. He tossed them over his shoulder and caught her hard by the shoulder, spinning her around to shove her over the back of the chair. She could barely reach the floor when he kicked her legs apart and held her down by the nape of her neck. He liked that she had to struggle a little to stay in position as he undid his jeans one-handed. He was ready. He was always ready when he was with her. His hand went between her legs to test her slickness, and then he slammed home. Fire engulfed his cock. Her tight folds barely gave way, only doing so reluctantly, gripping him as he surged deep, surrounding him with thousands of fingers, a fist of silk squeezing him so tight it bordered on pain. She was scorching hot, both paradise and hell, a place he never wanted to leave. He plunged into her over and over, his finger flicking her clit, listening to the sobbing musical notes pulse around his head, just the way her hot little channel did around his cock. She was close, so close, he didn't want to stop. But if she went over the edge, she'd take him with her, no doubt about it. "Damn it, Reaper! I fucking need her out here!" Her jeans came sailing over their heads. "Finish up and give me back my bartender!" Preacher snapped from behind them. Anya stiffened. Reaper didn't miss a beat, working her clit to distract her. Going harder, suddenly aware he was bareback again. He couldn't imagine being in her with any barrier, no matter how thin, between them. "Now, baby, give it to me now," he whispered, and caught her hair, yanking her head back as he plunged into her again. He felt it like lightning streaking down his back. The strikes sizzled through his balls until he was a fucking volcano, erupting like it had been dormant for years. He blew big, hard. She surrounded him with those magical tight muscles, gripping and milking, looking for every drop, draining him dry. Her body rippled around his, just as hard, the aftershocks shaking both of them. He collapsed over the top of her, his arms around her, kissing a line up her back. "Nothing more beautiful than being in you, babe," he said. She was still fighting for breath. She turned her head. "Do you ever think we're going to do this face to face?" He stiffened, pulled out and zipped up his jeans. "You complaining?" "Of course not," she said, and turned, leaning against the chair, still fighting to breathe. The action drew attention to her breasts. His marks were all over her. "It's just that sometimes I think we might try with the door closed and me looking at your face." "Working on it, Anya." Reaper tossed her the bra and found the jeans and panties Preacher had thrown. He pocketed the panties and handed her the jeans. "Hand them over. I'm on to your games," she said, snapping her fingers. "Gotta pay a price, babe," he said, and sauntered out. Inside, his gut was churning. He was going to have to find a way to get past his problems, a way to keep her safe and to just plain keep her. Chapter 13 The house Reaper had purchased was larger than he remembered. He unlocked the door, surprised to find it was warm. He should have known Lena and Elena would help him out. He stepped back to let his woman walk through the door first. His heart pounded out of control. He didn't know if she was safe with him, but it sure as hell felt like he wasn't. He was in new territory, and uneasiness was making him edgy. He wanted her there. He wanted her to like the place, even though he'd only walked through it 3 times. Once, when Czar insisted he buy a place, he chose it, not for the house, but for the location and escape routes. It was in a defensible position. He had barely paid attention to the actual house. Now he wished he had. What if she didn't like it? He had to be able to give her something, because she wasn't getting much of a bargain in him.
"This is your house? You own this?"
"Yeah." He owned it. Bought with club money. Money code siphoned off from a billionaire Greek shipping magnate who had been the president of the Swords Club and the top asshole running human trafficking. He was dead, thanks to Tsar's persistence. Tsar had put his life and his marriage on the line for 5 long years to get his shot at taking the man down, and he'd done it. They'd done it together with the help of some of the women from Sea Haven and Jackson DeVoe.
"Reaper, a house like this has to be worth millions. Your view is incredible. I've never been in a house like this one."
There was awe in Anya's voice. He followed her as she went slowly from room to room, looking at her the entire time, not at the house. He didn't give a damn about the house, but he did about the woman. Her face was lit up, soft, beautiful. She ran her hand over the granite counter, touched the stainless steel refrigerator and then the stove. The kitchen cabinets were all oak. The floor was a swirl of oat with circles of 3 different colors, all faint splotches in the tile. Anya went straight to the bank of windows overlooking the ocean.
"This is the most incredible thing I've ever seen."
"Bedrooms upstairs," he said gruffly. She was thinking, "Nice house." He was thinking he wanted to set her on that kitchen counter and devour her until she was screaming for mercy. She glanced at him over her shoulder.
"Honey, why were you staying at the clubhouse when you have this?"
He couldn't see any of what the house had to offer until she was in it. It had been empty, echoing when he walked through it, after meeting the furniture delivery truck with a bed the girls had chosen for him and the chair and kitchen supplies he'd added later. He'd hated the emptiness of the house, feeling like every echo was just a reflection of his own emptiness. Now there was Anya lighting up every room. Anya went to the great room. He didn't understand the term great room. It was large, high ceilings, all glowing wood and gleaming floors. One entire side of the room was made up of windows, letting in the sun, the sea, and the view. She stood at the window, just staring out without speaking. He wanted to strip her right there, press her against that glass and have her screaming for his cock and mercy. That would make the great room truly great. He didn't move. He didn't touch her. He just watched her, an exotic creature he was totally obsessed with.
"You don't have any furniture."
She turned to face him. Her hair tumbled around her face, falling out of the confines of the messy ponytail. The silken mass was far too wild to be tamed by the tie she used. He wanted to sink his fingers into all that hair, but he still didn't move. He didn't know what he was waiting for, but it was something. His heart kept pounding, and he heard his blood roaring like thunder in his ears. He wanted her with every breath he took, wanted to fuck her face to face, have her on her knees, mouth around his cock, have her touching his skin. He broke out in a sweat, his heart accelerating even more, running a race he was terrified he'd lose. "There's a bed, upstairs."
"You don't even have a chair, Reaper. Why not?"
"Kitchen has chairs," he said gruffly.
"Why didn't you want to live here?" she persisted.
"Because she wasn't there." He damn well wasn't going to say that to her. She already had him wrapped around her little finger, and that just pissed him off. He didn't know what to do with it. Elena and Lana put together the kitchen. Pots, pans, I think they have silverware and dishes as well. Some food in the fridge. Bought that myself. He couldn't take his eyes off her, afraid if he blinked she'd be gone and he'd have the emptiness of the house again. The club members had lived together from the time they were toddlers, most of them anyway. Being alone was difficult. Being alone with himself was worse.
"Are we going to live here?"
Anya put her hands on her hips. That just called attention to her curves. She had them. He loved them. She could be sassy, his woman. "Yeah, we're going to live here." Unless she didn't like it. Then they'd move wherever the hell she wanted to be.
"There's no furniture, Reaper."
"We have a bed. What else do we need?" She burst out laughing. He loved her laugh. It poured over him like music, the notes dancing in his brain, soothing him when nothing but fists ever had.
"I can't believe you own this house. It's amazing. Beautiful."
"I can help with the mortgage payment. If I'm living with you, I can share expenses." He narrowed his eyes at her, gave her the death stare. "That's bullshit. One, there is no mortgage payment. I own it outright. Two,
I take care of my woman, not the other way around. Don't give me grief over it, because you won't win.
She glared at him.
It's one thing for you to go all macho on me when you're with your brothers in the club, but when we're alone, it's me, Anya. Not macho, me. Was she going to be able to live with him, with the way he was? He knew she wasn't getting a bargain. He was trying, but damn it all, he didn't know how to talk to her, how to be what women seemed to need. She stood there for what seemed like an eternity. His heart nearly exploded, and his gut was so tied up in knots it was a wonder his belly didn't hit his backbone. A slow smile finally lit her face, and the relief was tremendous.
"Let's go check out the bedroom."
He shook his head. "I don't think we're going to make it to the bedroom."
"We're not?"
He shook his head again. "No, not right now."
"What are we going to do?"
"You're going to strip for me."
"I am?"
"If you don't want me to rip off those clothes, then yeah, you are." He took a step toward her. "I don't mind taking them off you, but I won't be gentle." He wasn't feeling gentle. The pressure in his chest nearly consumed him. He couldn't tell her what she meant to him. He couldn't get words like that out. He could show her. He needed to know she was his, that she'd give him whatever he needed when he needed it. He wanted her to feel the same way about him, to take whatever it was she needed. She laughed softly, the sound sliding down his spine, curling around his cock like the touch of fingers. He shrugged out of his colors, folding them carefully and tossing them to the thick carpet. Catching the hem of his T-shirt, he dragged it off and sent it flying across the room. Motorcycle boots were next. He didn't take his eyes off her while he pulled them off. "Get a move on, woman."
"I like looking at you."
"It's better than the view, and that's saying something, because the view is pretty darn spectacular." He peeled off his jeans and stalked her. She laughed and turned to run. He was on her before she'd taken two steps. He caught her tee and yanked it hard, ripping it from neck to hem, throwing the scraps away. Her bra was next. "Hate this fucking thing. Stop wearing them." His hands went to her breasts, cupping the weight, while he pressed his body tightly against her back.
"I'm too big not to wear a bra."
"You're perfect. I love the way your skin is so soft." His fingers were at her nipples. He'd been as gentle as possible before, but the animal in him, that beast craving her, worried sick she couldn't accept him, was out now, and he couldn't put it away. He pinched and tugged, rolled and kneaded. She moaned, and he kept at it, pulling at her nipples, wanting to use his mouth, his tongue, his teeth. He needed to put his mark on every part of her. His hands dropped to the waistband of her jeans. She'd already opened them, so all he had to do was strip them off her body. He had her panties, so there was nothing between him and her bare skin. He spun her around, one hand fisting in her hair, yanking her head back so he could take her mouth. Fire poured through him. Absolute fucking fire. He took her to the floor. He wanted a hard surface. Her hands moved over his chest, his back, up to his neck. The touch of her fingers drove him wild. He kissed her over and over, his knee nudging her thighs apart. Her hands smoothed down his back and gripped his buttocks. He loved that, loved the way she touched him with such possession. He left her mouth to kiss his way down her throat, around to her neck. He bit down, hard, wanting his mark there, wanting her to know he meant business. She cried out, but her hips bucked. His hand moved between her legs, testing, making certain. He wanted everything he did to turn her on more. Even his bite, his claim, sent liquid fire coating his fingers. Her hands slid down his hip toward his cock. His heart stuttered. Time stopped, tunneled. He caught both her wrists and pulled them over her head, stretched her body out for him like she was on a rack, tied there. "Want ink to tattoo my fingerprints on your wrists, like bracelets. Show the world who you fucking belong to." She kissed his chest, flicked his nipple with her tongue. Could he do that? She sounded breathless. "Yeah, baby, he can do that. Gonna ask him tomorrow."
He kissed her throat and then ran his tongue down the valley between her breasts.
Okay.
Leave your arms right where I've got them. He nipped at her breast, ran his tongue around her aureole, and then sucked her nipple into his mouth, flattening it against the roof of his mouth before tugging on it with his teeth. Her hips bucked harder. She writhed under him. A low, keening cry burst from her. He took his time, his mouth moving over her soft skin, marking her, teeth nipping, stinging, tongue easing that ache. He kept one hand between her legs, judging her reaction to his rough. This was the real Reaper, loving on his woman. He wanted her to feel him, to know she belonged to him. He worshipped the fucking ground she walked on. He wanted to do the same to her body. He took his time. It was the first time in his life he had ever enjoyed a woman like this, using his hands and mouth to claim every inch of her, to learn what she liked, what she didn't, what really turned her on, what she was a little afraid of. He was face to face with her, her front to his front. There were no murderous thoughts in his head, only pleasure, pure pleasure. He spent a great deal of time on her breasts, learning how sensitive she was, how much she liked her nipples tugged and pinched, pulled, sucked. She was covered in his marks by the time he moved on to her ribcage, to her belly, that sweet little belly button he spent a few minutes teasing while she squirmed and thrashed under him. Twice she moved her hands over his back and down to his buttocks. He loved the feel of her palms gliding over him, claiming him. He loved her hands kneading his ass, fingers digging in when she arched her body into his as he kissed or bit at her skin. Both times her hand slid along his hips, searching for his cock. He gripped her wrists and put her back in the stretched-out position under him. "Stay there," he growled the second time, deliberately punishing her with a bite to the upper curve of her breast. "I'm starving here, woman. Let me have you my way."
"Your way just might kill me," she hissed. "Reaper, I need you in me."
"We haven't even gotten started. You wanted us face to face. You got what you wanted. Quit bitching and let me have my fun. I'll take care of you."
"Fine. I'll just lie here like a lump or something," she groused.
He lifted his head to look at her. Her eyes were so green they were nearly glowing. Her mouth was swollen from his kisses. Her face was flushed. She looked so beautiful. His heart did a weird stuttering he was becoming familiar with. He couldn't help giving her a rusty smile. It was slow, but it was there. He felt it first in his gut. It blossomed out, spreading warmth through him, radiated upward until it reached his mouth and curved that bottom lip. Happiness. He barely recognized that emotion for what it was. All he knew was she made him feel, and the way she made him feel was better than good. "You do that, baby. You lay there like a lump," he challenged, and dipped his head again toward her belly button, lower, kissing his way to her mound. He loved the silky little dark curls, hiding what was never going to be kept from him. He pushed his shoulders between her thighs, keeping her legs spread wide apart. Turning his head, he kissed his way up from her knee, inside her thigh, all the way to her entrance. He did the same on her left leg. "Thought you were going to lie there," he whispered against her slick, inviting sex. Amusement was shocking. He didn't play. He didn't tease. He didn't know one could feel that way during sex.
"I am lying here," she lied, "not moving."
Her hips were bucking so hard he had to use strength to hold her down. He laughed softly, bit her thigh close to her entrance. He breathed warm air, waited a heartbeat, two. She was dripping now in anticipation. He might have to buy a new fucking rug if they kept this up. He smiled again and put his mouth to her, claiming her little pussy, that sweet, sweet part of her that was made just for him. She screamed and pushed up with her heels, driving her body into his mouth. He sucked on her clit, used his tongue ruthlessly, devouring liquid gold, an aphrodisiac that was all his. He took his time, savoring her taste, savoring the fact that he could take his woman face to face, her body under his mouth on any part of her he wanted. She was his, and he could have her any way he wanted. He wanted everything, every fucking thing. The first orgasm took her hard. She screamed his name. The second was even harder, and she sobbed his name. The third time she just opened her mouth, her head thrashing back and forth, her hair wild. He wiped his face on her thighs and knelt up between her legs. "Open your eyes," he ordered, cock in his hand. He felt ready to burst. His balls were thick with his seed, his backbone hurt, his ass, his legs even, as if that volcano was somewhere deep and ready to blow any moment. She obeyed him, those long lashes lifting so he was staring into all that green. He loved the way she looked right at that moment. He wanted that image burned into his brain for all time. "Keep looking at me, baby," he said. He was big, and she was tight. He wanted to see her face, watch her eyes, know she could take him like this. Not at his worst, but maybe close. He wasn't going to be able to hold back. "I'm looking at you," she said softly. He pressed into her tight, slick entrance and wanted to throw back his head and roar. Watching her face, he pushed steadily, firmly, not thrusting, just a steady pressure, forcing her tight folds to give way for his invasion. Nothing could keep him out. There was nothing that hot, that perfect. Pleasure and pain collided together in one unadulterated mix. Her sheath gripped him hard, squeezed and milked at him. Beads of sweat dotted his forehead as her scorching heat surrounded him in a tight fist. He withdrew, watching her eyes go wide, slammed deep. He lifted her hips and repeated the motion. Her eyes went dark with lust, with desire. Her breath hissed out. Her breasts jolted, calling his attention to those marks of possession. Maybe he'd have ink tat his fingerprints all over her. He took his time, staying in control for as long as he could, taking her harder than he ever had, needing the feel of his body buried deep in hers, needing those flames licking all over his body, down his spine, over his ass, dancing down his thighs. Her body clamped down on his, and she sobbed through the orgasm, but he didn't relent. Not when she began to thrash again, twisting, her body so beautiful, the sheen of sweat making her glow. He would have tried to stop had she moved her arms, but she didn't. Her eyes remained locked with his, and her arm stayed over her head. He increased his speed, feeling the build-up, the fire leaping through his veins, threatening to destroy them both. Her eyes went dazed, her mouth opened, no sound emerged. Then her body once more clamped down on his like a vice. The volcano was ripped from his body, molten seed blasting into the walls of her sheath, mixing with all that heat to turn into an inferno. He collapsed over her, letting her take his full weight, his face buried in her neck, cock still jerking hard. He stretched his arms along hers, threading his fingers through hers, his heart pounding, gliding now, trying to come down from a rush like he'd never known. He'd done it. Fucked her face to face. She was safe. Hell, he might even be able to sleep in the same bed with her. The minute the thought came to him, his mind shut it down. Maybe the floor would be better. Open spaces. He kissed her eyelids as he lifted himself, took his time at her mouth, letting her taste herself on his breath, on his tongue. She didn't turn her face away. She kissed him back. He framed her face with both hands, looking down into her eyes. "You're so fucking sexy. You like the things I do to you, don't you? All the heat, the storm, the pounding." She nodded. "Yes. You were made for me." She smiled at him, an angel's smile. He didn't see how that could be when he'd just pounded the hell out of her, but there it was. "I thought it was the other way around, Reaper. I thought you were made for me." Her fingers were on his chest, moving. He was very aware of them slipping down toward his belly. His cock jerked, wanting her touch, needing it, Before her fingers could go any farther, he pulled out of her abruptly and rocked back, sitting on his ankles, out of reach.
"We're a mess," she observed, looking around her. "If you grab my shirt, I can wipe off so I don't get anything on the rug."
"Fuck the rug. We can buy 10 of them. I don't want you to wipe off. I like knowing I'm inside you." She laughed. That sound, that magic, filling his house with her, with warmth, pushing away the emptiness.
"You're so crazy, and maybe a little kinky."
He reached down and gripped her inner thigh.
"You think that's kinky? We're only getting started, babe. I'm going to teach you things that will blow your little mind. It's late. Can you teach them to me later? If I don't get sleep soon, I'm going to be talking gibberish. Where's the bathroom?"
He hoped to hell there were towels and toilet paper. He never thought of those things. Lena and Elena always took care of everything, ordering what the club needed. He had never thought to thank them, and he needed to remember to do that. He stood and reached down for her hand instead. She ignored his hand and reached instead for his cock. It was semi-hard, a state he was used to around her. The moment her fingers brushed him, that demon inside him exploded. He moved fast, knocking her hand away, hard. He turned around and stalked across the room, cursing himself, cursing her, cursing everything he could think of. He heard her move, but he stormed to the door leading to the long, curved veranda that circled the living room. Once outside, he could breathe away the pressure in his chest, the need for violence, the terrible need to kill. He lifted his face to the night and roared his pain. It was pain. His woman couldn't touch him without triggering his kill response. Years of training, years of killing, years of being a fucking monster. It was still there, waiting, lurking. But he wouldn't let it win. Not her. Not Anya. "You don't get her," he whispered to Sorbakov, to the night. "You don't get Anya." She was his. Reapers. He wasn't going to let anything happen to her. "You don't get her," he repeated. It was a vow. The great room was empty when he returned. He had no idea how long he'd stayed outside, but it was long enough to cool the heat of his body. He left his clothes lying on the floor and went up the stairs. The sound of water abruptly stopped. She'd taken a shower in the master bathroom. Not wanting to face her and any questions, he used the guest room shower. The hot water helped to soothe aching muscles, but it didn't do anything to alleviate the fear growing in him. He couldn't give her up. He had to find a way around this. He wanted her touch. He even needed it. He wanted her mouth on him. He wanted everything with her, her body, every way he could have it. He wanted her to be able to touch him freely, to kiss him where she wanted, when she wanted. The water blurred his vision, burned behind his eyes, caught in his throat until he couldn't swallow. The pressure in his chest was enormous, threatening to crush him. He slammed his fist into the wall, feeling the pain explode up his arm. That was good, what he needed. Striking out, feeling the burn, the sweet promise of retaliation, of driving the demon off for a little while. He hit it again and again, wishing he was hitting someone, needing them to be punching back so he could feel fists slamming into him. "Stop it!" Her voice penetrated. He looked down at his hands. Blood was everywhere, even running down the broken tiles.
"I mean it, Reaper. Stop it right now, or I swear I'm walking out of here."
Fury burned through him. He spun around and gripped both her upper arms, giving her a little shake.
"Don't you ever fucking threaten me with that. Not ever. You don't like something I do, you can yell at me. Hit me over the head with a frying pan, but don't you threaten to walk out on me. Do you understand me?"
If he could stay and figure this shit out, then she could too. Her eyes searched his face. She took a breath.
"I think you made it abundantly clear, Reaper. Let go."
He did, forcing his fingers off her warm skin, afraid he might have hurt her.
"Damn it, Anya. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hold you so tight."
"You didn't." She rubbed at the blood dripping down her arm. His blood.
"I don't like you hurting yourself."
He frowned. I'm not hurting myself. She caught his hand, held it up under his nose, completely disregarding his no-touching rule. What the hell is this, then? Looks like blood to me. Looks like that tile is all broken to shit. What is it? If it isn't you hurting yourself. Woman, you have a mouth on you when you're angry. It seems to be the only thing you understand. She dropped his arm and turned away. She was wearing a shirt, his shirt, the fucking flannel that seemed to follow them everywhere they went. Lana and Elena again. They must have moved clothes over to the house. Trust Anya to find them. He watched her storm away. It would have been a great show of temper, but her ass cheeks peeked out from under his shirt now, and then as she walked fast, arms moving hard enough to lift the shirt. He caught up a towel, buried his face in it, and then swiped the dots of water from his skin, following her, mesmerized by the sway of her hips and the occasional glimpses of her ass. He thought his fingerprints tattooed there might be just the thing as well. "Are you following me?" she snapped, spinning around at the door to the master bedroom. "Woman, did you look at my knuckles? I could use a little TLC. What kind of woman leaves her man bleeding and hurt? A woman who was going down to the kitchen to find herself the largest and thickest frying pan possible. That kind of woman." She backed up two steps. "And stop walking. Go away." She shooed at him with her hand. He kept walking toward her. "Reaper, you've got me wanting to throw things. It isn't safe for you to get near me. I mean it. Go away." "You need to take a punch at me?" He walked right up to her. She smelled like heaven. Her hair was piled on her head in some messy knot that just asked to be yanked out. He caught her hand, closed her fingers into a fist, and pulled it to his heart. "Right here, baby. Hit me right here. You need to do it. I'm all for you taking the shot." She stared up at his face for a long time. Very slowly, her fingers uncurled until her palm lay flat and his heart beat into her hand. To his shock, she leaned into him, pressing her body close to his. "Tell me what I did wrong. Tell me why you keep leaving me after you touch me like you do." He wrapped his arms around her head and held her tight, held her so it was impossible for her to look up and see his face. Ordinarily, he could keep a mask there, but he didn't know how to deal with such intense emotions. "You didn't do anything wrong, Anya," he assured gruffly. "I'm not good at this. It's all new to me. I'm making it up as I go along." She lay against him, her body soft, pliant, not at all stiff. If she was angry, it wasn't over him leaving her after they'd had sex. It was because his knuckles were bleeding. If that was the case, she was going to be angry a lot. "Baby, let me work this out. Give me a little time. You wanted face to face, and I gave you that." She nodded. "I know you did. I really loved face to face. I loved on my knees. I loved bent over a chair. I love being with you any way I can. I'll take whatever I can get, Reaper. But you have to tell me if I'm doing something wrong." He took a deep breath. It had to be said if she was going to be safe. "Don't touch my cock unless I give you permission." He forced the words out. "Don't ask me for reasons. Just give this to me. It's necessary, or I wouldn't be saying it." She stepped back and looked up at his face. "You don't want to be in my mouth? You don't want my lips wrapped around you? My fist holding you tight?" There was a little wicked temptress in her. Any other time he would appreciate it, but now wasn't that time. Her words conjured up images. Her mouth was made for fucking. He wanted his cock there. He wanted to see her lips stretched around him. He wasn't small, and he would stretch her limits. She would find it hard to take him down her throat, but she would. He was hard as a fucking rock all over again. Her gaze was glued to his cock. But she didn't make the mistake of reaching out to touch him. She put both hands behind her back and looked up at him innocently. "Innocent my ass," he snapped, spun her around and pushed her into the wall. He kicked her feet wide, yanked back her hips, shoved the flannel up and slammed his cock home. Lightning forked up his back and down his spine. Fire raced through his veins. He drove into her over and over, hard, punishing, loving her. What the fuck was he thinking? He couldn't stop, not wanting to examine that thought or where it came from. He plunged into her over and over, while their breathing turned ragged, and she sobbed his name, and he heard the roar of his blood in his ears. She was an inferno, searing her name into his cock, branding him with her tight muscles and scorching hot silk that surrounded him like a fist. Reaper! His name came out as a whisper. He loved hearing it like that, soft, meaning something. The rapid building of pressure increased tenfold. There was no holding back. He yanked her head back, using the messy knot on top of her head, bending her back, pressing her tits into the wall, keeping her hips pulled into him while he took her deep and hard. He let the firestorm rush over him, let it blow his fucking mind. Her body clamped down so hard around him, he thought the top of his head would come off right along with his cock. He locked his arm around her waist and held her up when her legs threatened to give out. He shoved his face into her neck and breathed her in. I love fucking you. She didn't say anything, but kept her forehead pressed tightly against the wall. Baby, did I hurt you? She had gone too still for his liking. She shook her head. I need to clean up again. He stepped back and, keeping his arm around her waist, took her into the bedroom. He'd forgotten how large it was. Spacious. High ceilings, that long bank of windows just like those in the kitchen and great room. French doors led to a balcony that overlooked the ocean. The bed was made, two pillows, blankets, sheets. He let her slip away and stepped back. We're sleeping downstairs, in the great room, on the floor. He made it an order, walked past her, ripped the blankets off the bed and stalked out. He was feeling the pain in his knuckles now. He needed to soak them. He was going to San Francisco tomorrow to rescue Hammer's old lady. He'd need his hands. He tried to keep his mind on the pain and not whether or not Anya was following him downstairs. He threw the blankets in front of the fireplace and went on through to the kitchen so he could run his hands under cold water. He stayed there a long time, wishing he was different, knowing he probably never would be. When his knuckles were so numb he couldn't feel them, he jerked open the fridge door, found two bottles of water and pulled them out. He really wanted whiskey. Maybe the whole fucking bottle. He went back into the great room, expecting it to be empty. The blankets were laid out in front of the fireplace. Flames danced along the fake logs. The remote was next to her. She sat in the middle of the blankets, brushing out her hair. He sat down behind her and took the brush. I found a first aid kit in the upstairs bathroom. It had gauze in it and antibiotic cream. Your sisters know you, don't they? Yep. He ran the brush through the long, thick mass. He was a little in love with her hair. Not only did he want her mouth wrapped around his cock, he wanted her hair wrapped around it, too. He kept brushing, ignoring the thoughts and images that filled his brain and let him know he could just be the biggest pervert on the planet when he was around her. Worse, he liked it. She reached back, took the brush, and began to braid her hair. Can't believe this is really your house. It isn't that far from the clubhouse. Or work. You want to keep working? You don't have to. Of course I'm going to work. I love bartending. She turned to look at him over her shoulder. Reaper, Preacher or one of the others is always there. You know, someone watches the monitor. I have a panic button. You don't have to be there every night because I am. You're there? I'm there if I can be. She sighed. If that's what you want to do. I'm just saying it isn't necessary. She tied off her hair, scooted back and turned to face him. The first aid kit was close. She opened it and brought one of his hands to her, inspecting his knuckles. The cold water had stopped the bleeding and controlled the swelling. He'd been fighting all his life, and his knuckles showed that. They'd been smashed more than once. She lowered her head, and his heart nearly stopped when he felt the light brush of her lips across his mangled flesh. It took control and discipline not to jerk his hand away. It wasn't because she'd aroused the monster. It was because no one had ever done that before. No one had ever kissed a hurt on him. He didn't know what to do with it or how it made him feel. He wanted to move away from her, withdraw.